Blog Talk Radio.
Invented the wind force scale. I'm not a navigator, so I don't know exactly what that is. Among the great English writers in 1812, the War of 1812 period, Robert Browning, that's a famous English literary family, and of course there's Elizabeth Barrett Browning, I think that was his wife. One of the great German composers, one of what they call the three B's, Beethoven, Bach, and Brahms. Johannes Brahms was born today. His music is very autumnal. He wrote a famous requiem, which is Ein Deutscher Requiem, which is not religious, but it uses scriptural text. And great pianist. He liked fancy cigars. He never married, but was supposedly had an affair with Clara Schumann, who was Clara Wieck Schumann, who was the wife of Robert Schumann, who died, I think, insane. He was also a composer. And but he never married, and his music is one of the great foundation pieces in the whole classical music literature. Also today, Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, we used to call him Peter Itch in music school, and he studied to be, he was a lawyer, he didn't like it, in fact he was lousy at it, as there were several composers who studied law. George Handel, back in the 17th century. I think Robert Schumann studied law. Igor Stravinsky. Mussorgsky may have studied law. And then there was, of course, Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky, who the homosexuals are trying to claim as some icon because of his music and all of that. He came to New York and the opening of the Carnegie Hall, and he did several concerts here in the States. I think he died of the plague. If you remember 50s cowboy movies, Gabby Hayes was born today. We also have, Gary Cooper. His father, born in Montana, his father was a judge. He died in the 60s. He was in a lot of great movies, for instance, Sergeant New York, High Noon. I think Grace Kelly was in with that one, and he won two Academy Awards, one of the few actors that ever did. If you have a Polaroid camera, Edwin Land was born today, and Polaroid's making a comeback, I think, with these mini cams. I had one, it didn't work that well. And then, of course, Evita Duarte Perón, Don't Cry for Me, Argentina, and Now They're Not. She was born on this day, died of cancer. She was a kind of an Argentine Marie Antoinette, living high on the hog and then pretending to help the poor people, the Los Camisitos, the shirtless ones. I think I got my Spanish right. And then those of us who remember Janice Ian, I guess she's still around, that was her stage name. Her actual birth name was Janice Eddie Fink, F-I-N-K. Among the birth of the deaths today, the Secretary of the Confederacy Navy, Judah P. Benjamin, he was Jewish. I don't know if he practiced. They didn't really have a navy. They had the Merrimack, and then they had the Sea Raiders, and then the Hunley. That's one of the first submarines ever made. So he was, I don't know what happened to him. I think he was from New Orleans. And then on this day, the Titanic was sunk off of, not the Titanic, whoa, the Lusitania. That was the second British ship that sank in this period. And this one was sank by a submarine. And the people who boarded the Lusitania were warned that the ship was carrying munitions, which it was. And the British went down there when after the ship had sunk, and many years later retrieved all the boxes of munitions. Anyway, people were warned not to sail on that ship, or they sailed at their own risk. And this warning was issued by the German embassy in Washington. And among the people who died on it, very famous people, was Alfred P. Vanderbilt of the Vanderbilt family. And that's a family that made their money selling whiskey and guns to the Indians. And then we also had the Broadway impresario, Charles Frohman. I think it was connected to Cole Porter. Another great musician and composer died on this day. He was born in Croatia. Felix Weingartner, great conductor. His recordings are fabulous. Then we had a Dutch Nazi who was sentenced to death, head of the Nazi party in Holland, Anton Mussert. And then the oldest American who happened to be a woman died on this day at 115 years old. Among the events today, we had William Penn back in the 17th century, the first one to advocate the emancipation of blacks. In 1800, Indiana was declared a territory. On this day also, talking about musicians, Beethoven's Ninth, he was deaf by that time. He made its debut in Vienna. And on New Year's Day, every New Year's Day in Japan, they play the Beethoven's Ninth Symphony. In 1847, the American Medical Association organized in Philadelphia, but as I remember, their headquarters were in Chicago on, I think, State Street, because we lived around the block. You had a Kodak camera. Of course, they've gone bankrupt and gone out of business. George Eastman, on this day, patented the Kodak box camera. In 1912, the Pulitzer Prize was organized by Columbia University. They seemed to handle it. So unfortunately, it's a left-wing university where a lot of the what they call red diaper baby teachers have come out of there and spread across the country, spreading this communist and left-wing propaganda in our schools. This is why we have many of the problems we have in our public and even some of the private schools. Anyway, they got control. They started the Pulitzer Prize, and of course, there have been the scandals with that prize. One of the most notorious that still hasn't been repudiated by the New York Times has been the guy, Duarte, who was the New York Times correspondent in Russia, and he covered up for Stalin's deliberate starvation of 16 million people, roughly 16 million people, because they were called kulaks. They wouldn't submit to collectivization of their farms. And he got an award back in the 30s, and the New York Times has never repudiated that. And the most recent one involved the Washington Post, which had this woman who wrote this piece of fabrication about an 8-year-old kid who got hooked on heroin and who lived in the projects. The whole story was a fabrication, and in this case, the Washington Post repudiated this woman. She was fired, or she quit. And she recently surfaced in Ohio, a good-looking black woman who had a relationship with one of the Washington Post's, I think, editors. And also in the financial section today, the Washington Post's profits have dropped about 40%. So maybe that's their karma for pushing this left-wing agenda. Also, one of the they've had the Washington Post Writers Guild, and some of the people who pretend to be conservatives, like this woman Deborah Saunders, is a liberal in conservative clothing. Some of the stuff she writes is just abysmal, and she has a language degree, but politics may as well be Greek to her. I think she also studied Greek from one of these liberals in Massachusetts. Who writes for the Chronicle and other papers. Maybe she should just stop writing and go back and teach languages. On this day also, the Congress 1914 authorized Mother's Day, which is coming up this weekend. I think it's the second Sunday of May. And then, of course, the Lusitania was sunk on this day. And in 1942, we had the Battle of the Coral Sea. I think the Sullivans, this is the family of brothers from Iowa, they were all serving on that same ship, went down in the Coral Sea. They went to save their brother, and they stuck together. Also, what is not known is there were two or three other sets of brothers on that same ship. And after that, the Navy said they separated brothers, and they said no brothers could be together on the same ship because they didn't want to go through this tragedy. I don't know if that regulation is still in effect. Also, for the French, and it's kind of interesting because Sarkozy was defeated, and we'll get into Sarkozy a bit. On this day in 1954, the French and a lot of the foreign legionnaires who were at Dien Bien Phu, which was strategically a disaster, the French decided to set up a fortress in the bottom of a valley up toward the Chinese border. And they were going to lure the Viet Cong, or the Viet Minh, as they were called at that time, into a series of firefights and eliminate them. But instead, General Giap, a great strategist that he was, I think he's still living, had men haul cannon. And they just fired right down into the valley. And when the French tried to send in planes to supply by air, they shot those planes out of the air. And a lot of those French forces, I think were 9,000 men, who went into Viet Minh captivity, just like the Germans who went into Soviet captivity after World War II, these Frenchmen died and were never returned. so that's the horrible thing that happened to the French. In 1960, and this relates to George Christopher, the late, great mayor of San Francisco, Francis Gary Powers, just before Eisenhower was to meet with Khrushchev in Vienna at a summit, the CIA did not tell Eisenhower, so that was what the White House press said. They flew this, what they thought was this supersonic plane, which could fly about 60 to 70,000 feet, that spy plane to spy on, get some updated information on the Russian military installations, et cetera, et cetera. And it came out of Turkey, and unfortunately for the United States, the Russians, we discovered, had the missiles which brought down that plane. And at first there were denials, and then just like what happened in, I think it was Iran, which has sold... Iran, which one of our drones, they claim, was brought down, and they're selling that information to the Chinese and to our other enemies. And Francis Gary Powers was put on trial, and we ended up exchanging Colonel Rudolf Abel, who was a Soviet mole spy who had been here for years, operating out of New York, stealing our military secrets. He got caught, and Gary Powers got caught, and eventually there was a spy exchange. Gary Powers later flew test planes and stayed in aviation, but not military aviation, and he recently died a few years ago. Getting back to Sarkozy, Sarkozy's family, his family was Hungarian ethnic, like Esterhazy in the 100 years ago in the Captain Dreyfus case. And his father or his grandfather was one of the chief rabbis in France. And Sarkozy gave an award, or his foreign ministry gave an award to a San Francisco homosexual newspaper operator, which specializes in targeting people in their showers, male prostitution. The Bay Reporter, which is a really trashy paper. And maybe this is the karma that's caught up with some of these people. This whole agenda, the Ernest Rome agenda, politicians should stay away from it. We may be seeing a situation where there are going to be major political figures coming out and saying, you know, I'm tired of being in the closet. I'm gay. I'm lesbian. I'm this or that. And I think people are tired of crotch politics. We've got a major economic disaster facing us. And people don't care what consulting adults do in the privacy of their home, and to stop literally thrusting their crotch in the face of the body politic, it's tiresome. Since Tchaikovsky was one of the favorite composers of the great Dutch conductor, Wilhelm Mengelberg, I think I'll play this archive clip, which we had at Western Public Radio as part of the music there. And I think it's relevant because it's so unique. It's an old recording, and this is just the clip, and this is to celebrate Peter Ilyich Tchaikovsky's most famous piece, most popular piece, the 1812 Overture. This is the end of it. Orchestras and bands across the country play this 1812 Overture, which has nothing to do with our revolution. It was written to celebrate the Romanov victory over Napoleon, or the Romanovs. Alexander I was involved in the defeating Napoleon in the Napoleonic Wars, and this is one of the pieces that Tchaikovsky wrote to celebrate. I also think it was had something to do with one of the coronations of one of the Russian czars. He also wrote a piece called March Slav to celebrate the memorialize, I think, the Russian soldiers who fought in the Crimean War. But the big mystery is why they play the 1812 Overture and have cannon and bells, which has nothing to do with the American Revolution. But the people love it. Among the public policy issues that we need to start discussing, which involves untapped revenue, is the uninsured drivers who hit people, and this includes bicyclists as well as motorists who hit people And these people who are injured, the police have to come out, ambulances have come out, they have to bring these people to the emergency ward. Guess who pays? The American taxpayer. And in the example of the bicyclists, they don't pay for licensing, put a license plate on their vehicle, on their bicycle, even though they put their wheels on the road. They don't have liability insurance. We've had two deaths in this city already. I personally have endured an injury from a bicyclist who was on the sidewalk. I've seen other incidences. We have documented some of this, and we have we are affiliated with a YouTube site, Bicyclists Motorist Mayhem. It's on YouTube, and we have showing the outrages that these people get away with. This has become the new leisure class. These people have all this kind of money, since they don't pay for licensing or insurance. They have money for lattes. We have these special latte shops. They have money for fine wines, gourmet meals. Those who are into cocaine. It used to be with bicycles in this town. The people who had them were the drug dealers who operated at night because the cops couldn't catch them. And they would deliver their drugs and pick up drugs at nighttime on bicycles. And, of course, it saved them a lot of overhead as well. They didn't have to worry about a motor vehicle, which was most likely to be stopped by the vice squad, the narcotic squad, or the police. So it's time. A lot of us think we see the letters to the editor, but nobody is doing anything. It's time to start licensing, requiring registration and licensing these bicycles. There have been attempts in New York, proposed legislation, $25 a year. It's very reasonable. In some places in San Jose, California, on their books, but they don't enforce it, yet they're crying they have no money and they're laying off people. It's $2 a year. I think in Madison, Wisconsin, it's $10, and it's good for 4 years. In Maui, I think it's $10. It's a source of revenue. We have thousands of bikes on our roads here in America, and these people ride for free. And it's motorists, it's the taxpayer who can't even afford a car, who subsidizes this new leisure class. So it's time to stop that. Now, another illegality that's going on is we're documenting, we'll put it up on the YouTube site, of illegal political campaign contributions from foreigners who are meddling in American elections, and that's illegal. And, of course, one of the beneficiaries of this is Representative Nancy Pelosi, Nancy D'Alessandri Pelosi from Maryland. She's another carpetbagger, and she's making these ignorant comments about marijuana that that people in the federal government who are trying to shut down these phony marijuana medicine outlets. You should see the great increase in cancer among these teenagers that go in there. We've documented some of this on the Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AmicusVeritas. Well, apparently this ignorant woman, who herself was an investor in a warehouse in Hayward, California, where $1 billion worth of heroin was found. And the informant in this case, the Thai informant, was horribly tortured and murdered. But it was a case here in the federal courts here in San Francisco, Ninth Federal Circuit, where the guy in HUD was involved, a guy named Chang, an engineer supposedly at HUD, but he was laundering drug money, are connected to that Hayward warehouse. And also NBC set up cameras. They got the DEA's permission because the place was under surveillance. But she was an investor in that warehouse, and she apparently didn't have her staff research the Harrison Drug Act that dates back to 1916, which was signed by Woodrow Wilson, a Democrat, a fellow Democrat. And it regulates the use of opiates, marijuana, cocaine, all of that stuff. So it's another ignorant politician running her mouth, and it's time for her to go, too. She's not indispensable. Also, one of her things that she supports is so-called affordable housing. Well, surprisingly, a left-wing paper called Indy has recognized that the subsidized housing, real estate racketeering, was connected to people like Donald Turner. This is a guy who ran a corporation called Bridge, a.k.a. Path to Graph. He was on the plane with Ron Brown when that plane crashed in Croatia. And Ron Brown was involved with, I think, a project in Washington, a HUD slum project called the Tyler Housing. I think it was Tyler. But anyway, this is what goes on with these people. And it just they have no ethics, no morals, no scruples. And, of course, their karma is eventually going to catch up with them. Now, the other thing that I think we're seeing a trend, but it's not being reported as a trend, is there's a public policy question, is there an epidemic of reckless driving and bicycling on America's roads? And again, who pays for these injuries when these bicyclists and when these uninsured motorists injure somebody? It's the guy who, the man, the woman who has auto insurance and who's also a taxpayer who pays for the transportation by ambulance to the emergency room, who pays for the police to come out there, who pays for the maintenance to clean up the mess, if there's debris all over the road. These bike paths were started in World War II Holland. The guy probably responsible was a Czech lawyer who was named Gauleiter of Holland, a guy named Arthur Sess Eichwitt. He was a horrible man, and he got his comeuppance at Nuremberg when he was sentenced and convicted of war crimes and sentenced to be hanged and was hanged, along with several others. But this is something to think about, that there are people who can't even get medical insurance or can barely afford the medical insurance that they have, and they end up by paying taxes, subsidizing this leisure class of bicyclists who don't pay for anything but yet have these special rights, privileges, and exemptions. It's time to put an end to this. You know, make these people responsible. We're going to go. So the question, public policy questions that we should be thinking about is unlicensed bicycles, unregistered bicycles, an untapped source of revenue that these strapped cities and states haven't tapped and should tap. And, of course, the political lexicon, one of our words, is that bicyclists have become the new leisure class. They have income for lattes, fine wines, gourmet meals, and those who are into illegal drugs. I know some of these people where I have known them. And it's time that we start telling these people, hey, no special rights for anybody. That you put your wheels on the road, you follow the wheels of the road, the rules of the road, and you pay for registration, and you should have liability insurance. Now, we are going to end with our usual theme, politics and poker. We will be back Wednesday, and we hope to have that interview with Dr. Jeffrey Broderick. I have to edit it down, and we had to scrap the previous interview we did because he is no longer making natural horse food, and he's not making the kibble that we talked about 15 years ago when I interviewed him at a convention here in San Francisco, a veterinary convention. So we will end with our usual politics and poker, and where is the politics? Here we go.
You say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Johnny, what are you
going
to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
I'm
fine. Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
us, politics or poker, which is more important?
Well, this is Peter Paul, and it's the cutoff time. That's more important. We'll be back Wednesday, so thank you for listening, and this will be up on the web. And also go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Good night.